I can walk without this, but it keeps my wife happy if I carry it along. What a privilege to be here. I'm so thankful to the church and the pastor for inviting me to be here to enjoy this great service, to sense the presence of God and the blessings of God upon your ministry, and to share with you. I'm just so thankful. Thank you for inviting me. My wife is down here at the front taking pictures, but that isn't the only thing she does. She's my chauffeur. It's not that I can't drive, but it's easier for her to drive than it is for her to tell me how. Right. Pastor has mentioned that the two ladies who work in our office are sisters, Ethel and Phyllis Lynch, and they're here. They travel with us when they can, and thankful they can come. I'm the only preacher I know that has his own Lynch mob. On a more serious note, Phyllis is battling cancer, and we'd appreciate you putting her on your prayer list. God has answered prayer. It's a miracle that she's here. It's a miracle that Ethel is here. She went through serious surgery last year, and the doctors didn't think she'd live. And God answered prayer, and we're glad they're both here, so put them on your prayer list. I'm glad to be here. At my age, I'm glad to be anywhere. God called me to preach from the plow handles to the pulpit some 78 years ago. He called me before that, but that's when I really started preaching. It'd be 79 years in the spring. And I thank God for the ministry he's given me. It's been such a privilege. And he called me to preach. He never has called me to quit. And I haven't found a place to retire. Doctors said I was going to die when I was in my 20s, but they exaggerated. I'm still here, and they're all gone. And I'm glad God let me live and have good health and be able to travel and preach, and just so excited. It's wonderful to be a Christian. Yes, wonderful to walk with God. Yes, and, you know, I've lived long enough. I've lived from horse and buggies to jet age aircraft and rockets into space. And I've lived from yelling at your neighbor to the internet. And things have changed so much. Even the way people talk. You know, if I could go to heaven and stay 20 years and come back, I wouldn't be able to understand half of what people's talking about. It's changed so much in my lifetime. I remember when ABCs is what you taught your kids, and Good Morning America is what you said when you got out of bed. I remember when a Macintosh was an apple. And a blackberry was something you put in a pie, and a web was something swept off the ceiling. things sure have changed. You know, words don't even mean what they sound like. eBay sounds like a place to go fishing. And a blog sounds like something that lives in brackish water. And you bet is what you used to say to your neighbor at the auction. It's just changed around so much. I remember when an alcoholic was a drunk. And a panhandler wasn't in the kitchen. And I remember when a street person was a bum or a hobo. And alcoholic was a drunk, I said that. And I remember when two unmarried people lived together, it was shacking up. Back then, we were not as politically correct as we are now, but you knew what we were talking about. So I've lived a long time. And you know, the reason I know my youth is all spent, my get up and goes, got up and went. But I really don't mind. I can say with a grin, when I think of all the grand places my get up has been, old age is golden, so I've heard said, but sometimes I wonder when I get into bed, with my ears in the drawer, my teeth in the cup, and my eyes on the shelf till I wake up. Ere sleep dims my eyes, I say to myself, is there anything else I should have left on the shelf? When I was young, my slippers were red. I could kick my heels clear over my head. Then I got older, my slippers were blue, but I could still work the whole day through. But now I'm old and bent in the back, and I walk to the store and puff my way back. That's how I know my youth is all spent, my get up and goes, got up and went. Now I've retired from life's competition. I worry myself with endless repetition. I get up each morning and dust off my wits and pick up the newspaper and read the old bits. If my name is missing, I know I'm not dead. So I eat a good breakfast and go back to bed. Pastor asked me to take a little time and talk about my ministry. I've had the privilege of doing mission work in 6 countries. I was in Berlin during the building of the wall. I've had the privilege of organizing churches, and I've had the privilege of holding some great revivals. I've been involved in citywide revivals, big tent revivals, and B.R. Lakin was one of my close friends. Lakin and I worked together for many years. He gave me the broadcast that he had, and I had it for a number of years, then turned it over to Dr. Jeff Fugit. So God has given me a varied ministry. And now when I should be looking for a rocking chair, I'm just looking for the next place to preach. And I told you, Pastor, I'm so thankful. You know, most preachers, they get old, they can't get anywhere to preach. I saw a man 51 years old, and he's out of the ministry, temporarily at least. He said, nobody wants an older preacher. Well, I'm 97, it'll be 98 in January. And I'm so thankful that God's opening doors, and I have the opportunity to keep on preaching, amen, keep on traveling. Yep. And with all my heart, I want to be a blessing to you tonight. I want to help you. You know, we never get too close to God. The Bible says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. We need to get closer to God. And we need to walk with him every day. And what a wonderful privilege it is to pray our Father who art in heaven. He's our Father. And he loves us. And he answers prayer. What a marvelous thing that God answers prayer. And we have the privilege of prayer. We have the privilege of going to heaven. And we have the privilege of winning somebody else and getting them started on the road to heaven. And one of the glorious things, we get home to heaven, across the river, see the city, the gates open wide, and people tripping down the hillsides of glory and saying, welcome home, thou redeemed in the blood of the Lamb. And we see in that crowd somebody we led to Jesus. That's going to make heaven even more wonderful. Thank God for a soul-winning church. All right, I'll preach to you for a little while tonight. Just been idling my motor, trying to get warmed up. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, familiar verses, Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. That means that if you lose that distinctive Christian characteristic that sets you apart as a child of God and makes you a blessing, if you lose that, you're not any good for anything. And then he said, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Jesus said, you're salt, and he said, you're light. I cannot think of any two things that are more different than salt and light, and yet both statements are true. Let me say to you, first of all, only God can make salt. Men make substitutes, but they're not very good substitutes. Only God can make salt. And only God can make a Christian. Salt makes one thirsty. And if you're close to Jesus, you'll make other people thirsty to know him. But if you lose that saltiness, you've lost your usefulness. Salt is a natural preservative. It keeps things from despoiling. And the Christians in this world keep this world from rotting and going to hell. America's bad enough, but oh, how wicked it would be without the Christians within it. You're the salt of the earth. And so let your salt be a blessing. Something else about salt, it makes things taste better. At least I think it does. And my wife thinks it makes things taste better. I use a little bit of salt. She uses salt, it looks like it snowed. I used to think it would kill her, but I've given up on it. Now, Jesus also said, your light. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And he said, you don't put your light under a bushel. You don't hide it. You let it shine. And you put it on a candlestick. You go to the book of Revelation, we find Jesus standing in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. And John was told, these are the seven churches. And candlesticks are churches. Put your light on a candlestick. Put your light on a church. Be a member of a church. Let your light so shine. Jesus said several things about light. He said, I'm the light of the world. And that's true. He said, you're the light of the world. That's also true. But the only light you have is the light, the reflected light of the Son of God. I like the types of the Bible. In the first chapter of Genesis, in verse 14, there's a statement. It's historically true. It's also a type. It said, God made two great lights. He made the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. That, of course, is the sun that rides like a chariot of fire across the heavens and lights the day. And then that moon that reflects the light of the Son of God. It's the reflected light of the sun. And you are the reflected light of the Son of God. And you have no light except as he shines in your life and you reflect the light of the Son of God. Now let me show you something. Anytime the world gets between the sun and the moon goes in, or the sun goes into an eclipse, or the moon goes into an eclipse. If the world gets in the way, it causes darkness. And if the world gets in the way in your light won't shine. Keep the way clear. Reflect the light of the Son of God. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. And that wonderful sun that shines, you know, without it, nothing would have color. A black dress and a green dress and a red dress would all be the same color without the light of the sun. And without the light of the sun, nothing would have definition. You couldn't find the shape of things. You'd fall over something and hurt yourself. And I believe that light reflects the light of the Word of God. The Word of God gives us the great doctrines that give color and definition to things, and you know what's right and you know what's wrong and you know what'll please God and so on. And so that's the light of the sun. But the light of the moon is a reflected light of the sun. And several things about the moon. You know, the light of the moon, it has an atmosphere. There's nothing like a beautiful moonlit night when the moon is shining on the trees and the leaves look like they're silver, or when you're out on a lake and the moon is shining. It can just be so beautiful. Nothing like it. Reflected light of the Son of God. And there is nothing like Christian life that's dedicated to God and reflects the light of the Son of God. Another thing about the moon, it's conducive to love. if a young man is in wanting to get engaged to a young woman, he doesn't quite know how he stands with her, and he wants to propose to her, if he's got good sense, he'll not propose to her on Main Street at 12 o'clock with traffic whizzing by. He'll get her on a lake in the moonlight some night, and then he'll propose. Got much better chance. The moon is the reflected light of the moon. You know, it's conducive to love. And I'll tell you, the church, a real church that's on fire for God and reflects the light of the Son of God, I believe it makes people fall in love with Jesus. It's easy to get saved in a church where the Spirit of God is operating and you sense the presence and the power of God. I said, let your light so shine. Let me say three or four things to you quickly about light. Number one, light travels in straight lines. Now, we're not saved by walking straight. We're saved so we can walk straight. You cannot shine a light around a corner. If you could invent a light that would do that, your fortune would be made. Light travels in straight lines. And so as you serve Jesus, let your light shine, you're going to walk straight and narrow way to the glory of God. Some things you won't do as a Christian. Some things you just won't do. You don't want to be worldly. You don't want to act like the world, smell like the world, dress like the world, anything else like the world. You want your light to shine. Light travels in straight lines. Say something else to you. I learned in school many years ago as a boy in grade school. They taught us to memorize it. They said light is the intensity of light, or the brilliance of light is intensified by the nearness of the reflector to the reflector to the source. Now that simply means that the closer you get the reflector to the light, the brighter the light's going to shine. The closer you get to Jesus, the brighter your light's going to shine. Tell you something else. I learned years ago that a dirty reflector doesn't give much light. For when I was a boy growing up, we had a horse and buggy. They took the top off it and it became a buckboard. I don't know why. They used to take the top off automobiles and it became scooters. I don't know why. But anyway, we had a buckboard and a horse. And that's how we got to town. But a salesman came out to see my daddy back then. They had to pedal automobiles. And he came out and brought a brand new Ford and showed it to my dad and mother and tried to talk them into buying it. My dad was kind of tight and he said, no, we can't afford it. And that back then you could get a car any color you wanted as long as it's black. And so he had that black Ford. Well, the man didn't give up. He came back the next day and told my daddy how easy it was to drive. Maybe got him to drive it a little bit. And my daddy eventually did learn to drive, but he drove a car just like you drive a horse. If you're driving a horse, you let him go his way till he gets out of the road and you pull him back. And that's the way he drove a car. If he got out of the road, he'd pull it back. But anyway, time came that he bought one of those cars. I think it was $108 back then. And he sold a cow and a horse, or a cow and a hog, I guess, and my mama's cream money and egg money and all he had in the bank and paid cash for it. After that, we were riding in style, going to town that new automobile. We didn't have a garage. He parked it in the barn. And in the barn, either a cow butted it or a mule kicked it, but it broke out the headlight. And they didn't have seal beam lights back then. They had a reflector and a bulb and a glass lens and a rim to hold it all together. And the light would still work. Just didn't have the glass. And our road either ran in the creek or the creek ran in the road. I never did know which. But driving out on that creek road, water splashed up. And before my daddy got the light fixed, the reflector rusted. Finally, he put the lens back in. But after that, when he'd be coming in at night, my mom would be watching the road. And she'd say, there comes our car. Got one good eye and one bad eye. And I learned from that you cannot reflect good light with a dirty reflector. Oh, keep the way clear with nothing between. And let your light shine that others may glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let me say to you that the shining light is important. Many years ago, I was pastor near Lexington, Kentucky. And I organized a church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Eventually organized two churches there. But after I organized the church, they asked me if I would be associate pastor. They had a young man who didn't have any training, and said help him to get his feet on the ground. And so for a time I pastored in Cincinnati and in Lexington, or near Lexington. And the roads were bad then, no highways like we have now. Every road went through every little town, and it would take about 3.5 or 4 hours to drive from Cincinnati to Lexington, Cincinnati. And there was no way I could preach in Lexington Sunday morning, drive to Cincinnati and preach in the afternoon, drive back and preach that night. No way I could do it. So I decided to buy a half interest in an airplane and learn to fly. That's how I got into flying. And then on Sunday, I would call Sunday morning and tell them to get my plane out and service it and have it ready to go. And when I finished preaching in Lexington, or my church near Lexington, I would have my lunch packed, and I'd drive to the airport, get in the plane, take off, eat my lunch on the way, land at Lincoln Airport, and somebody would meet me and drive me across Cincinnati, and I'd preach that afternoon, and then they'd drive me back, and I'd fly back to Lexington. That worked fine in the summertime. But the days got short, and it got so when I'd be flying back, I'd look down, and I could see headlights on cars. It was dark down there. I could see windows with lights in them, and it was dark. And I knew that I had to get to the airport in Lexington. That little old plane only had 12 gallons of gasoline. That wouldn't go too far. And I'd begin to worry. I'd think, what if the wind has changed and I've drifted and I'm off course? What if the compass is not accurate and it leads me off course? And I miss that airport. I'll run out of gasoline and I'll crack up and kill myself. And so I'd start watching toward the horizon, watching for a blinking light at the airport in Lexington. And after a while, I'd see that light, a green and an amber and a green and an amber, and I'd point that little old plane toward that light, and it would guide me straight to the airport. The light was needed. I'd have died without it. It'd guide me to the airport. And we'd get to the airport, didn't have any radio, and they told me to box the tower. That meant you fly a rectangle around the airport. And I'd start flying the rectangle around the airport, and the man up in the tower would hear that plane. He'd see, there's that crazy preacher flying his Bible. And he'd turn the runway lights on, and I'd come around behind those runway lights and drift down until the wheels bumped the concrete, and I'd say, thank God for the light. Without that light, I could have lost my life. Oh, the light is needed in this world. Such a dark world, and people in sin and on the road to hell, and they do not know what it's all about. It's such a dark world. The light is needed in this world and this day. I read the story years ago of a father and a daughter who went fishing out in the bay. And it was a beautiful day, and they went out a distance and let down the anchor and started fishing. And while they fished, the tide came in and lifted the boat, and the anchor no longer held. And then the wind changed and the tide started out, and before they knew it, they had drifted out of sight of land. And the dad was greatly concerned. He said, daughter, it got dark. He said, daughter, watch for a light. That's our only hope. If you see a light, if it's a boat, we'll go to it. If it's the shore, we'll go to it. And so she was watching for a light. And they were drifting out to sea. In the home, the mother said to the older brother, I'm worried about my daughter and my husband. I'm going to go up and put a light in the window. And they said, the son said, it's so dark now they'd never see it. He didn't realize the darker it is, the brighter the light shines. She went up and put the light in the window and knelt to pray. And out there, the little girl watching, the tide had changed again. They'd started drifting in, and after a while she said, Daddy, I see a light. I see a light. Which way? And she'd say, a little to the right, Daddy, a little to the left, Daddy. He was rowing with his back to the shore, and she guided him until that boat grated upon the sand of the shore, and she leaped out and found a familiar path and ran up the path and into the house and into her mother's arms. And the older brother said, how did you get in? How did you ever make it in? She said, we were guided by Mama's light. Oh, Mother, be a light to your children. Daddy, be a light to your children. Husband, be a light to your wife. Wife, be a light to your husband. Let your light so shine. Oh, the light is needed in this dark world. And we are the light of the world. Individually, we are lights. We shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And he made the stars also. Every child of God's a star. And we are the light. And the church is the light of the world. Be loyal to your church. Be dedicated to your church. Work in your church. It's the light of the world in a dark city, in a dark country, in a dark world where people are going to hell. Let your light so shine before men they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. I want us to bow our heads together. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, our hearts prayerful, I'd like to ask how many of you in this audience know that you're saved. Would you raise your hand, every child of God? Amen. Thank you. God bless you. I wonder if there are those of you who did not raise your hand. You know if you had to die tonight, you'd not be saved. You'd go to hell. Would you raise your hand and say, yes, I'm lost, but I need a Savior. Slip your hand up. I'll pray for you. I'll not point you out, but I'll pray for you. Is there one anywhere? Anywhere. Not saved. Put your hand up now. Let me pray for you. Is there one anywhere? All right. Perhaps we're all saved tonight. One more question. I wonder, as a child of God, if there's something between your soul and the Savior. I wonder if you've drifted, if you've grown cold, if you've been careless, and your light's not shining like it ought to, and you need to make a fresh start. Dedicate your life anew and afresh to God. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me? God's spoken to my heart. I'm not as close to God as I ought to be. God bless you. Raise your hand. Is there one anywhere? All right. I want to pray for you. And if God's spoken to your heart, this altar's open. If you're lost, you can come and trust Jesus as Savior. If you've backslidden, you can come and confess your sin and he'll forgive you. If you've grown cold, you can draw near to him and he'll draw near to you. Our Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, the Spirit of God will move through this audience. Bless the people, our Father. And I pray that there'll be decisions made tonight that'll glorify God. In his name we pray. Amen. All right, shall we sing? If God's spoken to your heart, come on. Amen. If God's spoken to your heart, come on to this altar. Come on. Come on. Come on. God bless you. Come on. If God's spoken to your heart, come on. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's spoken to you. Come on. Let's have our own private revival. Get the fire rekindled. God bless you. God bless you.